He started showing me some of the specifics of what we're going to be talking about here this morning. And this kind of came to me. This is kind of a search and rescue message. Search and rescue message. It's a real serious message. As I was sitting right there on the front row, getting ready to come up here, he showed me that he was the good shepherd walking through the flock right now, examining you to see where you're hurt and where you have need, as he wants to minister to you. I've had this This has been stuck in my spirit now for a few weeks. And it's almost like I can hear somebody. And I know it's not just one person in this body. I know it's not just one of you. But it's almost like I can hear you. And I hear you saying this: give me a reason to continue to do this. I have to have a reason. Give me a reason to keep doing this. Because really, there's no use of me going on and teaching you all of the intricate details of what it means to be born again and what it means to be part of the last Adam, until you can get this part and get past it for yourself. Why do I want to keep doing this? Why do I want to keep doing this message? Why do I want to keep putting myself through this? You know, and I've heard, and this was another thing that I was listening to this morning. You know, it's not just been one of us. This has been said before. And I want you to understand that we don't want anybody to leave. It grieves every person that stands here when one of you leaves. None of us wants anybody to leave. We want all of you to experience the fullness of your place in the body. Simple as that. Simple as that. What he wants to say to you this morning is to stay here. Don't run away. Don't run. Stay here. And keep doing what you know works. I want to tell you the title of today's message. You're dying to let the real you out. That's what it's all about, folks. You are dying to let the real you out. I told you I can hear some of you inside, and I'm not just talking about right now. I can't explain it. But it's like being over a crowd and kind of hearing things that drift up. I'm tired of the dying process. If you talk to me about dying one more time, I'm leaving. I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry that you feel like that. Because what we want is for the real you to come out. That's what we want. And as the real you comes out, and you take your place in the body, we're going to be a many-membered body with mature adults. And that's what it's about. But you found your way to a place unlike any place that I've ever seen. So much so that, yeah, we relocated, like many of you relocated, to be here. The uniqueness of this place is the fact that no matter how many times these chairs get filled and refilled with different people, what's taught here is still the same. That the people that stand here and speak these words aren't moved by the changing faces. That the only thing that motivates us is speaking what He wants spoken. And He's finally found a place where He can do that. I'm not saying this is the only one. I believe there's other places. I personally, honestly, I don't know them. I mean, I know a few that are associated with this body, but that's really it. So He's found a place that someone will stand and speak and say what He wants spoken. Do you think that He wants the messages that are spoken from right here altered to make the people in those seats happy? I mean, really? Happiness is fleeting, folks. If I just want you to feel comfortable where you are, so you can stay where you are, I can preach a lot of easy messages about that. But that's not why you're here. And that's not why He has this place here. He has this place here. And this is the word, a boot camp. It's a boot camp. When you go to a boot camp, do you know what they do to you? My son was in the boot camp for trying to qualify to be a Navy SEAL. Do you know what they did to that poor boy? Do you think they were nice to him? Do you know why they treated him the way they did? Why they tried to break you down? Because they want to know, when all hell is against you, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? You know, it's easy to say, Lord, I know, just send me anywhere, I can take anything. Those are easy words. Easy words. Lord, send me anywhere. You can send me to the Middle East. I'll die for you. Here's where you die. To go do that. Here's where you die. And I truly believe, folks, that the missions that He wants to send us, all inclusive, out of here doing, are going to require such a level of mortification, such a level of dying to self, because of what you're going to face when you're on the battlefield, that to send you out prematurely would really be abuse. He knows what you're going to face out there. Don't run from the boot camp. Don't run from it. Why do I want to mortify myself anymore? Why do I want to die anymore, Mark? Because you want the real you to come out. That's what you want. That's what you want. You're going to be the most happiest, most joyful, most fulfilled person when you're in that place doing what He called you to do. That's when the fulfillment comes. That's when the true joy. Until you get to that place, it is hard. It's like taking medicine sometimes. But I want to paint a picture for you of what you're doing this for. It's not for what you see today. Can everybody understand that? Amen? It's not for what you see at this moment. Now that's like talking to a six-year-old whenever, you know, when you're 6 years old. When do you want everything? Now. Give it to me now. I want it now. We can't be six-year-olds spiritually. We can't. We can't expect to have the fullness of what He's called us to without going through the maturing process. It's all part of it. So, example. Yesterday, when I got out of bed, and I'm just saying this because it's an example and it's a perfect example. Yesterday, when I got out of bed, I didn't want to fast at all. At all. Honestly. I had no desire to fast. And He said, fast. And I said, I don't think so. I don't really want to today. I'm hungry today. Sometimes I wake up and I'm not hungry. Yesterday I woke up and I was starving. And the thought of not eating was just not on the agenda. And He said it was. And I fought with that. You talk about every hour thinking about eating. Oh my goodness. I was thinking about it all day. And I thought, why is it so hard today? And why am I doing this? I don't know why. You need to see we're just as real as you are. We go through the same things you go through. He says fast. It's not because I don't do it because I want to do it. I do it because He said to do it. It's that simple. Before I wouldn't have done it. You know, years ago I would have struggled with it. I'm getting to the point now where He just, you know, wake up in the morning, He says fast, okay, well, that's fine. Because I'm seeing with longer vision now that it's not just about today. It's not just about this week. I'm looking like more like I'm growing up. Like a grown up would look and see and, you know, be able to see down the road and not just see the immediate circumstances. And that's how we need to be thinking. We need to be looking at this. Amen? Turn to Galatians chapter 2. I'll let you see the one scripture that He gave me. He's actually given me a little bit more, but I'll let you see this one. This is the one that stuck inside of me. Chapter 2, verse 20. I'm just going to read the first part of it. I am crucified with Christ. Stop there. as I meditated this verse along with Galatians, but then when he honed me in on this verse, I looked at it and I said, I am crucified with Christ. Now, if your Bible says something different than that, after the service, you can go buy a real Bible. Because that's the way it really says. I am present tense right now. And I looked this up on, I went online to someone that teaches Greek. And this was the Holy Ghost. Went online, went and started looking at past tense. And they used this scripture as their example. And they gave the exact wording for how it should be worded. This is what they said. For example, Galatians 2:20 should be translated, I am in a present state of having been crucified with Christ, indicating that not only was I crucified with Christ in past, but I am existing now in that present condition. I am presently crucified with Him. Just that part right there, that's enough. We're walking dead people. We're walking dead people. The part of us that we want to come out, it's on the inside. The part of us that we see, that we deal with every day, that's the dead man. That's the dead man walking. It's what Dave has taught us for years about fasting. It's the positional truth. You are currently, right now, right at this moment, as if you were hanging on that cross, dead. And the new you on the inside that has come forward, that's a whole totally different person. Different person. Different person. Say different person. I am a different person. I am not the same old person. They never told us that. All the years when they walked us down the aisle to accept Jesus, they said, you can be free from your sins, and that was enough. Hey, folks, I ask questions. That wasn't enough for me to just be free from sin. I want to know why. I've got more whys than they had answers for. It's because I died. The me that lived in this body died and is hanging on a cross. And yet I live. And I still have to deal with the rottenness that existed and it continues to exist until I mortify it, so that the new real person, the real me, can come forward and take their place in the body. See, that's what it's about. He loved us and loves us so much that He refused to leave us the same way. He refused to leave us the same way. Refused. Because He wanted such fellowship with us, such communion with us. He wanted a family. He wanted to bring us into His family, to share His love with us. That He went to such great lengths to put to death the part of us that was offensive to Him. And now He's put it into our hands and said, look, here is the positional truth, Mark. Positionally, when I see you, I see your old man hanging on that cross, dead. And now I give you the responsibility to put to death those things associated with the mark that's on the cross. Put it to death. And allow the real you, the real person, to come forward. You see, in that moment of time, you know, back in 1989, when I said, "Jesus, I give you my life." In that instant, something so, unbelievable seems, something so extravagant, so miraculous took place in that instant. And the rest of my life on this earth, I will work out that process of dying and coming forward in my new man the rest of my life. I'm giving myself to that process. Because I don't want to stay that person on that cross. I don't want those things that should be mortified in me, because positionally I'm dead to them. I don't want them staying inside. I don't want those things to keep rearing their ugly head and stopping me. And he keeps bringing this back to me. Tell him about the love. The love. Because this is the motivation for you. It's the love that he had for you and has for you, that hung him on that cross in your place. It's that love. Why do this? It can only be for love. I saw this as the thing that the common denominator in everything that we do. It's the love. We want to have faith for things. Faith works by love. You're trying to believe for things, but you haven't developed the love that faith works by. You ever thought about that? You're trying to believe for things. You see things out in front of you that you want. And you're trying to believe for that. Guess what the missing element is? The love. You want God to do things for you. But where's the love at? It has to be that fruit that comes where? Out of your new nature. And Galatians talks about that later. The fruit. Love. Joy. Peace. Have you ever looked at that list of things? Have you ever thought, gee, if I had those things manifested in me, I don't think I would want anything. That's right. But in order to get to that place where those, that fruit is manifesting, it costs us something. Would it be easier to say it doesn't cost us anything? Well, yeah. Would it be true? No. So for those people that are sitting in churches that people are saying things like that, it's not true. Do they have larger congregations? Yes. Why? Because they pet the flesh. Just stay here. Everything will be fine. Look, folks. Everything's not going to be fine. I don't know if that's a revelation to you, but everything's not going to be fine. It will be for you as you live out of your new nature. But if you're looking for the circumstances all around you to finally line up and be perfect, they're not. And you know, if you're And I'm just saying this because this is the next thing that came up. If you're going to look and see the economics of this country and say, oh my gosh, I better store away enough food for the next 5 years. And I was talking to Pastor Dave about something similar to that. He said someone asked him that question. And this is what he said. He goes, so, you're going to store away enough food for 5 years? Okay. What about the little kids that live down your street when they're hungry? You know how long it's going to take you to really go through that food if you have a heart of a giver? Oh, about a few days. Then what are you going to do? You're going to believe God. And you're going to believe God based on what? Faith? Faith without love? No. You see, the love, and Pastor Dave talked about this the other day, it was like Wednesday or Sunday. Love is the key. It's the love that's the key. We want to have mountains of faith to believe for things, but we get our eyes off the fact that it's the love that causes that faith to work. If you don't have the love, what is going to be your reason for being able to believe that God's going to do anything for you? Who are you? Because He loves you that He does these things. Not because you earned anything. Not because you deserve anything. Oh my goodness. What did we deserve? Did we deserve Him hanging on the cross for us? What did we deserve? And what did He do for us? And why did He do it? Because He loves us so much. Because He is love. It's not just what He does, it's who He is. And if we are truly made in His image, love needs to be the thing that when you stick me, that's what comes out, is love. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Yeah, I've looked at that verse so many times. And it just, I'm crucified with Him. I never really, really looked at it. Never really allowed the Holy Ghost to take those words and paint that image inside of me of what He's really saying. What's my life supposed to be? I remember when I got saved. I remember the thoughts I had prior to that, how I lived, what I did, my plans, my life's plans, what I planned to do the rest of my life. It certainly wasn't this. It wasn't. And likewise with you. Before you met Jesus, I'm sure you had all kinds of plans, all kinds of ideas, where you were going to go in life, what you were going to do. And all of a sudden, here you are, you're saved. He saved you. The change took place inside of you. You became a different person. And now, the rest of your life, you're finding out who you really are. And the real you is coming forward. And you're finding out, hey, I have a place in this body. Who knew? I thought I was going to be a rich salesman. That's what I thought. That's what my plans were. I looked at my ability to speak. I looked at my ability to make money. I said, hey, that's a great combination. I think I'll do that. I got born again. He said, no, I got other plans for you. Well, then what are you going to do? Well, let's see. I could do what I want to do and just kind of pretend to be a Christian and, you know, walk through life, and I'll die and go to heaven, and I'll see Jesus, and they say, what did you do? You could do that. That's what most people do. Or you could say, okay, I'm going to plant myself here. I'm going to find out. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do the things that I'm taught to do. I'm going to be changed. And I'm going to discover who I really am. What I'm really supposed to do. And He gave us this wonderful Holy Ghost, third member of the Godhead, to come and help you. And what a wonderful helper He is. Isn't He wonderful? He comes and takes you by the hand. He says, come on, Mark. We're going to walk this way. Okay, Holy Ghost. What are we going to do? Oh, I'll tell you. Eventually. But for right now, we're just going to walk like this. Okay, Holy Ghost. Any ideas yet? Oh, I have plenty of ideas, but I'm not telling you yet. Okay, so we go walking and walking and walking. Anytime, Holy Ghost, oh, just be patient. Just be patient. You're growing. You're doing what I expect you to be doing. Just be patient. Follow me. Don't step there. Okay, all right. I'll go this way. And it's so easy, isn't it, Mark? Oh, yes, it's just so easy. I don't have to know what tomorrow brings. All I know is that you have me by the hand and I'm walking with you. And it's so wonderful. And you take care of all of my needs. Don't you, Jesus? Do you see anything hard about that? Anything hard? Then why are you worrying? It's that easy. You pray in tongues. He takes you by the hand. He even goes out in front of you and starts taking care of all kinds of things, preparing the way for you to walk in. And all you have to do is go, Kodabasandarabashanda. And He goes out and takes care of all that stuff for you. And you just keep walking and keep loving on Jesus. And He sends someone into your path and He says, okay, tell them about me. Okay. And then you start growing up more and more, and He gives you responsibilities. No, Mark, it doesn't work that way. You see, I have things to do. I have ideas. I have plans. And here's the rub. This is the rub. It's because you never came to that place and you said, I die to myself and to my ideas. And until you do that, you will continue to be frustrated. That is the perfect recipe for frustration. Look, who knew that He had such great plans for you? Who knew that God had such great plans? Who knew? Did you know? He didn't know. How could He have known? He was a sinner. He didn't know. Weren't you? He was. And then all of a sudden one day, He says, Jesus, come into my heart. So simple, so easy. And in a moment, everything in His life is forever changed. Forever changed. Forever changed. Everything, all of His plans, all of His hopes, all of His desires, as part of the first Adam, hung on that cross. You got to let that stuff die. Because that's not who you are. You're born of the last Adam. The real you is the man on the inside that's coming out, that you're dying to let come out. So what's your place? I don't know. He does. And he's standing there. And the Holy Ghost is standing here saying, just give me your hand. Trust me. Don't be afraid. And just walk with me. I won't hurt you. I won't hurt you. I love you. He loves you. He loves you. I saw a vision the other night. I talked to Pastor Dave. It was before the Wednesday night service. I talked to him afterwards. That night, but later on. And I said, I saw this vision as I was in the shower, which is where God always speaks to me. So here I am in the shower, and I see this vision, and it only lasts. These visions only last maybe 2 or 3 seconds. But when you get them, He gives you all the details. It's like a download on the computer that you get in a second of time. Boom, there it is. And this is what he showed me. He showed me a picture of a body. Just a body. Everything was normal on the body. Except for one arm. It was an adult. The one arm was the size of a child's. Now in this vision, the body parts could talk. So the rest of the body looked at that one arm and said, what's your problem? Why don't you grow? And the one arm said, I refuse to grow. I want to stay this size forever. The rest of the body said, well, don't you get it? You're holding the rest of us back because you won't grow up. I don't care, said the right arm. I don't care. Well, why have you made such a stand against growing up? Well, one day I was listening and I overheard the legs and they were talking. And they mentioned something about growing pains. I have an aversion to pain. I don't like it. And I refuse to subject myself to anything that might be uncomfortable. So as a result, I'm going to stay this size forever. And the rest of the body said, you're just going to hold us back? Yes, I don't care. Because that's my choice. And I'm not changing. Romans chapter 12. So why don't you turn there. It's about fulfilling your place in the body. So keep in mind the scripture out of Galatians 2:20. And look at Romans 12:2. Or 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Stop there. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. You can't read those two words together, living and sacrifice, and think there's anything about that that's pleasant. I mean, living, sacrifice. Match that up with Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Him. I am that living sacrifice. I have offered myself up. When I said, Jesus, I want all that you have for me, he said, oh good, Mark, I want all of you stuck up on that cross so that all of me can come through you. Living sacrifice. Tell them about the love. If you don't focus on the love, if you just focus on the dying and you don't see the love, you miss the motivation. Why to do it? Why do I want to keep doing this? It's because love himself gave himself for you and has a plan for you that he can love his world through you. And in doing that, great joy, great fulfillment is yours. That's it in a nutshell, right there. That's it in a nutshell. He just wants to love through you. He wants to love his family through you and bring more people into his family so he can love more people. Does he love you? Oh, he loves you. Oh, he loves you. Does he have good thoughts for you? He has wonderful thoughts for you. Wonderful thoughts. Wonderful plans. Wonderful things for us. Do you feel a little bit more motivated? A little bit more? The things that you're seeking for in life, those things that the rest of the world fights and claws and never obtains, those things are available to you, and they come from the inside out. From the inside out. And the only way to get those things out is to put to death the things that keep them in. But in doing that, great joy, great peace, great love is yours. What more motivation do you want? No, you might not be the most popular person in town. There's probably some downfalls about that. You might have your picture posted in the devil's post office, sure. But just tell him where he's going and how long he's going to be there. Isn't that right? Just tell him where he's going and he's going to be there for a long time. And as the hours tick off one by one and you're in your prayer closet, just know this. The best part of you is coming out. The thing that you want the most is coming out. Your future is inside of you, just waiting to come out. And all you have to do is pray it out. All you have to do is die to the things that would put you in jeopardy once he sent you down this path. Because he's not going to do that. Not for me, not for you, not for anybody. He's not going to send you down a path and watch you self-destruct. We've seen plenty of self-destruction. It's time to see people who walk down this path into the fullness of what God has for us without self-destructing. Can I hear an amen? Who wants to see another preacher run off with the secretary? Who wants to see another preacher run off with all the money? Who wants to see churches implode? Who wants to see that junk? Certainly God doesn't. So please, please, encourage yourself. Be grown up enough to do that. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Be grown up enough when the times are hard. Not to lay out a church. Not to stay away from the place that's feeding you. Stay in there and realize that the part of you that's growing is the best part of you. It's the real you. It's who you are. And that's the part that you want to come out. Because next year, 5 years from now, you won't be the same person. You won't. It's impossible to do what we teach here and stay the same way. You can't do it. You cannot do it. All right, let me ask you, did you get something today? Amen. Amen. Be blessed.